great to have you here today, whether you are live and in person. We are very spread out. There is a nice big open spot here. If you have the ability to be here and join us for the singing, and there's opportunity to stay distanced. And if you're on the live stream, I am glad you are with us this morning. So we have a connect. We've been doing that already a bit in prayer and have talked about several local. Also, there is on the back of the handout that's come to you today a new focus for us in our prayer efforts, Mali. It is a town in a country in Western Africa. There is a description there for you to note on Mali and to be in prayer for the believers in that location. We'll be covering them this week and next week. Hey, by the way, I've got a question for you. Why do you think we do this 2 weeks? Anybody have any? I know it's a matter of guessing, but anybody have a guess? Why do we do this 2 weeks? Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever forget about it the first week? And so the second week is kind of to remind us, and we've been doing this for a goodly while. As a matter of fact, this is number 24, and so doing it for 2 weeks, we have done this for about a year's time, and I want us to be believers that have a world vision. Because God is working in the world, and part of what we're experiencing in our time is His ongoing work. So, Mali is the name of the location. M-A-L-I, if you're live streaming with us, and you can Google that and see the conditions in that country. We're going to pause and pray for them right now. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great opportunity to come before you and function as the way that you've called us to be. Indeed, we are salt and we are light in this world. And part of our intercession is being that salt and that light. We think how Daniel did this, and he prayed consistently, so much so that the folks around knew he was praying and tried to trap him in praying. And Daniel kept being salt and light and continued earnestly in prayer. And on occasion, we get to hear his prayer, confessing his sins and the sins of his people. When he understands from the scripture what you're doing in the world, I pray today that you will help us to be doing that. And I pray today for Mali and the believers there and the experience that they're having, because they're folks just like us, different skin tone due to the pigments there, the melatonin, as Doc talked to us about last week, and yet folks who trust you and whose hearts grip to you and their present circumstance, we're to pray for them as if being with them you call us to in the scriptures. And we pray that we would get a heart that's developing a view of Christianity worldwide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to kind of, well, here, let me put this up. If God would just come down and tell me, I wish he would do that, then I'd know. I'd know what to do, and I just do it. It's amazing how many times that has been said. I've heard it many times. To be actually truthful, I've thought this repeatedly. If he would just come down and tell me, then I would do it. Yeah. And I've said it to him. Kind of like this guy did. Do you know who this is? Well, do you know who this is presented here? Tevye, okay? And frequently, I've just pulled up some shots here of Tevye doing this in the story of Fiddler on the Roof. And of course, here was a guy of faith, a Jewish faith. Our faith is the Judean, the Jewish Christian faith. It's based on the God of Israel working with his Old Testament people, the Jews, and working with his church now, bringing in Jews and grafting them together. And so Tevye was interacting with the Lord God of Israel. That was the projection here. And do you know some of the situations where he goes through and he talks to the Lord about the circumstances that he in, much we did like in our praying, and the house and its condition and the people that I'm working with. And I have five daughters, Lord. And all the way that he interacted with the Lord, because you know, we find out that this stuff is kind of ongoing stuff for us all. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial, James says. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good courage. Be encouraged in your heart, because I've handled the world and you can too in him. You and I can too in him. So Tevye, and I know in some of these circumstances, like Tevye interacting with the Lord and all, by the way, it was not hard to find scenes of him interacting with the Lord throughout that film. By the way, this is my favorite film, all-time favorite film. Tevye, it's got such a good story, and it's an old film, by the way. How many of here have seen this? You really ought to. If you've not, you ought to. How many of you have seen it more than once? I'd like to see it again right now, but I can't. We're doing this, okay? So, in this prayer, we've thought it, I've thought it. Have you heard somebody say it? I want you to know this morning that we're going to take up a promise or promises, take up some promises of God that have the Lord doing just that. Coming down and telling you, or not. It's just that straightforward. It's just that straight up. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we are in the series called Over the Top Promises of God, because God has given us, listen to me on this, God has given us, this is actually Peter on this and not me, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, a life that goes his way. Now, some of times we may say we believe that, but in our actions, we act like we don't believe that. That's the hardest thing. Remember the guy who interacted with Jesus and he said, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Remember that? You remember hearing that going on? Lord, I do believe, help my, you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the same thing that we struggle with, and that is bringing our practice to what is true, to what we believe. That was the struggle. Lord, I do believe, help where I don't believe. Well, Peter said to us, God's given us everything we need for life and a life that goes his way. He's done this through our knowledge of him, and he's giving us by this knowledge of him these exceedingly great and precious promises. So that, handling life God's way, we become partakers. We participate in the divine nature, the disposition, the way God is. We participate in that and escape the corruption that's in the world through what you want, through what I want. You see, what I want doesn't line up with what's going on, and so there is a corruption that comes into play. That's the problem. That's what we're talking about in this series. These exceedingly great and precious promises. And in James this morning, we have these promises brought home to us. The promises about God coming down and telling you I wish that he would just do it or not. Here, join with me. James chapter 3, verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, James 3:15, but is earthly, natural, unspiritual, is some translations, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Promise. That's promise. But, verse 17, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, full of those two. It is unwavering. It is unhypocritical. And promise, verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make for peace. This morning, we're going to be talking about wisdom wars, because there are wisdom wars. There is the earthly and demonic that he talks about here. And then there is that which is from above. Both wisdoms exist. They are both here. And there is a war between them. And we have an opportunity to practice in accord with what we believe is true. That is, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, I appeal to you to come to Christ. But if you are a believer, these two wisdoms are at war in you. That's why James talks to the folks in the very first church in Jerusalem. He was the Lord's brother, both physically, he was born his brother, and spiritually, he came to trust Christ and was born again. He trusted Jesus Christ, his brother, as his Savior. Wow. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Who is wise here? And then we're going to talk about wisdom. Wisdom that is not from above. It's not. It's not. If this is going on, it is not. And then wisdom that is from above. So that's how Pastor James talks to us this morning. And we're going to be taking a look at this. As we do this, I probably hear that statement more frequently than some of you. People telling me, I wish God would just come down and tell me. Often in counseling, because of the counseling ministry, people come to me with the expectation that I will tell them what God wants them to do in this circumstance. And we will hear what God has to say. We will take time and energy and effort to understand what you are facing in this world that's full of trouble. Man born of a woman is full of trouble. And his days are few. We will understand that, and we will look to Scripture, but there will be times when you have decisions to make that, well, it's on you with the Lord. I won't make the decision for you. A guy named Jerry Bridges wrote a book called Trusting God. It's a book that I've referenced frequently in my life. He says this, all of us from time to time agonize over some important decisions, trying to determine the best course of action. But God, he says, never has to agonize. He does not even have to deliberate with himself. Did you ever do that? Stand there and talk pro and con to yourself. I'm standing in front of a store needing to purchase. Some of us do that longer than others, put it in our cart, run it around a little bit, and then take it out of the cart and leave it. Yeah, then some of us do that. Deliberations even on bigger and bigger things. God doesn't have to deliberate. He doesn't have to consult with anybody outside of himself. His wisdom is innate, intuitive, infinite, and infallible. That's his wisdom. That's the wisdom that he has. Our Lord to his people says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Understanding the situation so that we can proceed. And concerning this, his understanding has no limit. He understands it all, and he understands it perfectly, and he understands it completely. It is without limit, unmeasurable, amazing. And for us, this, he stores up wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom to deliver it to you, to those who are upright. And that word upright means those who are straight with him. Those who kind of deal with it straight up with him. That's called integrity, and that's what he says. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So, when James starts to talk to us, he talks to us about who is wise and understanding among you. Let's take a look at this. This is a question that he gives in James chapter 1, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? And the question is to stimulate you concerning what do you think? You know, sometimes we think we are. We are wise. That ought to be an E rather than a period. We think we are. We're the wise ones. Have you ever heard somebody say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard? Where is that person coming from? I think they're out to lunch most of the time. This is so crazy. It's crazy what's going on, what people are saying. You know what that is saying? It's saying, I am wise, I get this, I see what's happening, I know what fits. That's what the word wise refers to. That this fits the situation, and you know how to go about this so it fits well. And our comments made about other people, often on social media, which seems to be the end thing to do, and to do it in a very respectful way, of course, this thing is an assertion that I am wise. I am wise. Listen to me. Do it this way. This is how it goes. I am wise. I know what fits and how to do this so it fits. That's what it's saying. Who is wise and understanding among you? That's the question he brings. Now, I want you to see that the Lord says this to his people. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Guess what? We all think this fits best. This is how it ought to go. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? Do you ever see one? Of course we do. It's when we go, you are out to lunch. That is like so far out in left field. We have all kinds of phrases for this. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. A fool is someone who does something that doesn't fit. But a fool recognizes it doesn't fit. This doesn't work. Have you ever said something that made you feel foolish because it didn't seem to fit? It's kind of out of place. That's what a fool is. Someone who functions out of place. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for that one who is wise in his own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And by the way, I didn't make these up. I just quoted them. Okay? This is the wisdom of God through Solomon. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do this. Have a deep-seated respect, fear, apprehension for the Lord, and turn away from what is harmful. Turn away. Those all had their references behind the statements from the book of Proverbs. Turn away. By the way, do you know how to start this wisdom? Do you know what this wisdom from God is? I want you to see this because he tells us. The beginning of wisdom is this. This is when you start to see what fits and to come to conclusions about how to bring what fits to pass in your life. This is practical. This is life. This will work. Do you know the beginning of that? Here it is. The beginning of that is, I need wisdom. I've got to get wisdom. I desperately need to have wisdom from God. I need this. I need it. That's good, because then you're on the course of wisdom, because otherwise it is puffed up and wise in my own eyes. Oh, I can figure this out. I don't need you on this one. This is wisdom. This is where it begins. This is it, God said. I need wisdom. Get wisdom. And he said, and with it, get understanding. Get to see how to make this work. How to practice this. Get understanding. This is, a matter of fact, the principal thing. This is it. Get wisdom. Now, having said all that, I want us to take back to this. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's there. That's where it is. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's Christ. It's in Christ. And bringing Christ to the circumstance in your life, that's where we get this wisdom. Okay, so here you go. Who is wise among you? Huh? Okay, I get the picture. I often think. He says, then this. If so, if you get the picture, then this, verse 13a, if you get the picture, verse 13, by good conduct, show your works in the meekness of wisdom. If so, if you're getting the picture that this wisdom comes from the Lord, it's not going to be in you intuitively. You need to seek this wisdom. If so, then this. Then let it show. If so, let it show. Let it show. It will show if it's so. And if it's so, then let it show. Are you with me on this? If so, that you have this wisdom, it will show. It will show. And so, Let it show. Let it show. Well, how does it show? Notice with me. Verse number 13. By his good conduct. By his valuable, virtuous, helpful actions. By actions you bring forth that are beneficial and valuable to people, not just to you, to people, to God, to this planet, to the society, to the earth. You know, what is done for Christ is done for other people. Do you realize that? That is the truth. If you do anything for Christ, it will be for another person. That's the way it is here. And let it show in actions that are valuable to them. Valuable when you're frustrated, valuable when you think they're out to lunch, valuable when you think, that is so liberal. That is ultra-conservative. That is so fictional. That is like so generated in your own mind. Let it show in behaviors there. Let it show. Let it show. By the good behavior, the meekness, the control, the self-control of wisdom. Meekness here is understood, well, there is a statement made during these times about a horse being extremely meek. The horse was a muscular, powerful animal. But this horse that was said to be meek was under control. And that's the characteristic that he's talking about in meekness. Let it be in the control of wisdom. Let that be. So, if it's so, let it show. All right, having said that, I want to add this. But if this shows, verse 14, if this shows, look with me at what verse 14 says. But if this shows, but if you have bitter jealousy or contention, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, if that's there inside of you, where you think and talk to yourself, where you review things, where you evaluate, where you sing songs from and you gripe from, and all of that, your heart, in your heart, let, he says, let you not boast and be false to the truth. Now, this thing, you know, I did not plan this for our times. I did not. God planned it for all of human times, and just because it fits precisely for our times doesn't mean that I'm trying to manipulate anybody. All I'm doing is talking about that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes understanding. Now, I'm saying that because from time to time, when a guy like me talks about a topic like this, in a time like this, some people get to thinking that I'm just getting after them, that I'm persecuting them. I want you to know, this was James from the Lord from the first century. And just because it fits 2020 time precisely. I'm not manipulating it. We've just been going through James and a series in the promises that are given here. And this is the promise. Okay? If this shows bitter jealousy. The word jealousy refers to contention, to having strife, to having turmoil with someone. It's hatred that stirs up strife. It's anger that stirs up strife, according to the book of Proverbs. If there is strife, then somebody is being wise in their own eyes. Someone is functioning perhaps with hatred or with anger. There. That's where strife comes from. That's where quarrels come from. He says that, James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do the quarrels come from? It's your desires that war in you. There is the strife. There is the quarrels. Do you hear any strife going on in our time? Do you hear any debates that are fired debates? Whew. On personal levels, people are unsettled. And that's coming out in actions. And on the national and international level, I can't believe how those stupid liberals think this is going to happen. And those conservatives with their protests like this, it's all around. And it's big, and it's hot, and it's now. And it's personal for people, and it's social for people. It's what it is. That's jealousy. That's contention that he's talking about. That's the strife. And he calls it bitter here, which a word that means prickly. That's what it's prickon. That's the term which we get, or prickly. It's pungent. It's piercing. It's potent. Matter of fact, in chapter 3, verse 11, he talks about bitter waters being drunken, and you taste it, and it's like, bleh! Bitter jealousy. And he adds, selfish ambition. Now, I am going to draw this out, not because I want to say, ooh, watch me, I'm going to read from this. But this is somebody who is a language scholar, and he's going to talk about selfish ambition. It's one word here. And he says this. This word means faction. He says, its only known occurrence prior to the New Testament times was by Aristotle. And Aristotle used the word to denote a self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. Lies, deceptions, connotations, a self-seeking political advantage by those means. The basic thought of the term seems to be that of one who, by personal advantage, works to promote a definite cause in an unethical manner. It denotes a party spirit or factiousness. This meaning is how it's used in the New Testament. I thought that was 21st century. It is! It is! It's also first century. Aristotle was the first one to use this word of selfish ambition in that faction to create divisions. We're not done here yet. If this shows bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, then this. it's false to the truth. This is false to the truth. And it's bragging that's false to the truth. It's bragging that false to the truth. And this is not the wisdom from above. Verse 15. It is not the wisdom that comes from God. It is not from God. However that may be projected, it is not from God. Then it is not. Now, that leads us to the second point here. So let me take this up. It's this. Wisdom that is not from above. And this wisdom from not from above, he says, has sources here. This is the source of this thing. And here they are. It is earthly, meaning it is from down here in the human domain. It is earthly, of this world. It is natural. It is of the flesh. It is way the flesh is bent. It's the way the flesh is bent. And it comes straight out of the demonic den. It comes straight out of the demonic den. It is demonic. Now, I am not playing up the demonic here on this to be dramatic. This is the delivered word of God from his wisdom, and he's saying it is demonic. It's from the demonic realm. It's how demons function. It's what Satan did. It is what Satan did. And he passes on to others. This is the sources for that wisdom. That is bitter jealousy, pungent, piercing contention, and selfish ambition. That's what it is. And by the way, it is both liberal and conservative. It is. That's what this says. And by the way, we are not liberal and conservative. We are kingdom folks. That's what we are. We are under the rule of Christ, the King. Does that mean we don't have opinions? Of course we have opinions. That mean we should express our opinions? We should express our opinions at the proper time, in the proper place, to the proper effect. We should. But this that is all around us that we're being called to choose and choose now and choose quickly is, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what it is. And the devil is behind this. And the human desire is behind it. And it's of this wisdom. Okay, so having said that, let's talk about the promise of this kind of wisdom. Here's the promise. The promise is that there will be disorder, meaning there will be instability, there will be commotion, and there will be confusion. Now, I want you to know that we need to insert right here conspiracy theory. You know, the Bible talks about us dealing with conspiracy theories. And boy, are they around today. They are so prevalent today. This is it. This is it. And it is confusion. There is wisdom for walking with God through this. There is. But this is disorder, instability, and confusion. Do you see any of that around today? Wow. Yeah. Amazing. I did not write this for our time. James did, and it's in our plan, and we get an opportunity to look at it. Okay, so having said that, it results in this promise. Every worthless thing, meaning things that are of mean, and they are of no account. They are of no beneficial gain. That's what this means. Every worthless thing, every vile practice comes out from this. Okay, so having said that, I am going to move on to our last point. There is wisdom that's from above. Now, I need to emphasize this. This is personal in your personal life, and this is social in our life with other people. I'm going to make that clear as we draw the conclusion to this. The wisdom that is from above, he says, and he gives the properties for this wisdom. There are eight properties here. He says this is the first one. It's the first one which is an internal property. It's a characteristic that we have with wisdom. It's the first one, meaning this is chief. This is the primary one. It's pure, which means wholesome. It means it's dealing with stuff like it is. You know, for those who are parents here, you know, sometimes when you're talking with your kids, you get the picture that this deal is being shrouded. It's like, I am maneuvering here to keep myself out of trouble with you. You ever notice that? You know, sometimes at work, just this past week, there's issues, and there are things that get shrouded here. It's like maneuvering so that. And you know, I realize this. It doesn't have to do with how tall or old you are. As a matter of fact, that was the same deal that Adam and Eve were in with God. This shrouding. And there's a time when this, you know it. The kid just says, I did. And I did this. And it's just clear-heartedness comes out. He says, that's wisdom from above. In the event the person says, you know, when I did it, I knew I shouldn't. It gets all on the table. It's on the table. Wisdom from above lays it on the table first. It's wholesome. And then he says these seven other things. It's peaceable. These are from that internal quality of the wisdom from above. This then gets expressed. That's the personal going on in you. This is the social that comes out. It's then peaceable, meaning it seeks to establish harmony. It loves peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, bringing harmony. Folks, this is not propaganda. This is the wisdom from above, to establish harmony, to have to choose sides in the racial and the police issue, and to choose sides on the liberal and conservative, and you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. By the way, the governor says wear a mask, so what are we going to do? Wear a mask. That's it. Because we got biblical guidance for wisdom, and that is submit to the governing authorities because they give count. And if you don't, then you're fighting God because they're a minister of God. That's the wisdom from above. So you're peaceable. You're looking to establish harmony. You know, some of those pictures of somebody pulling back an automatic weapon saying, get out of my face. Is that Christian? If it is, we need to rethink where our wisdom is, because there's a wisdom that is earthly, natural, demonic. I own a weapon. I own a weapon for a reason. The reason is, Jesus said when he left, before I told you, You don't need anything. Now I tell you, sell your clothes and buy, not all of them, sell your clothes and buy a sword. That's why I own a weapon. Beware of evil men. I own a weapon. But I don't going to persuade you and take the action of persuading you by my weapon. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Meaning it does what's suited to the situation. It considers the impact of its words and its action and is appropriate. It's willing to yield. This is Joanne at this stage in her life. You know, Bob called me this week and said, Joanne needs to talk to me. I talked to her just a little bit, couldn't talk to her long. She had something on her end that kept it. But this is Joanne. The spirit that yields to the circumstance because it's appropriate. It's what it's willing to do. Wisdom from above. I want to be like Joanne when I grow up. I do. I do. I hope I am. Otherwise, my kids are going to be very annoyed. Full of mercy. It's full of bending down to somebody in their aggravation. Bending down to them in their misery. Whether it's misery that's self-inflicted or from their circumstance, it's full of good fruit. It brings things that are beneficial in people's lives. It is unwavering. It stays this course. It stays this course. It stays this course because it's wisdom from above. And that's the characteristic of how it gets expressed. And it is not false. It's not hypocritical. It deals with this. So it's time to close. And here's the close. Oops, let me back that up. Here's the close. I already talked. The promise. There is a harvest of what's right. This is the promise. There'll be a harvest of what's right in your life by sowing peace. That's what comes. The harvest in your life by sowing this peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And by the way, do you remember what Jesus said the peacemakers are like? The peacemakers are called sons of God, because they're like God. It's the wisdom from above. So, time to close here. Here's the reality. Brothers and sisters, we are called to peace. We are called to peace in our personal lives. 1 Corinthians 7:15. He has called us to peace. We are called to peace in our corporate social lives. We are called to peace in this one body of Christ. We are called to peace. We are to be the peacemakers. The weapons of our warfare are real. They are present. They are real, but not the weapons of this world. They are divinely powerful. You can trade divine powerful weapons for something else, something you think by being wise in your own eyes, but they won't be. This, the divine powerful weapon, will tell down everything raised against the knowledge of God. So, conclusion of the matter is this. There's a war. And there's a war for the believer. It is earthly, demonic, of the flesh, where there's one from above. And the wisdom that you choose is up to you. Father in heaven, like Martin Luther, let out for people all over a song that has lasted century after century after 500 years, that God is where I run. He is my fortress. He is my strength in this world full of demonic. He is there. I pray we be there with them. In Jesus' name, amen.